Let's call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:03 p.m. It's Friday, February 16, 2018. And before we begin, I want to thank Christy Blair, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Kelsey Goodell from the Juno LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Kopp, Representative Stutz, Representative Millett, as an alternate for Representative Reinbold, who is absent, and myself, Representative Klayman. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Our first, and I would note, only order of business today is House Bill 330 from the Department of Natural Resources, Disclosure of Confidential Information, sponsored by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee, and here to introduce the bill is Ed King, Legislative Liaison to the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. Mr. King, if you could come forward, identify yourself for the record, and then you may begin your presentation. And as the practice in this committee, we bet you get through your whole presentation before we start peppering you with questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ed King, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of Natural Resources. Mr. Chairman, I won't necessarily need to spend all of your time today, it being the only item on the agenda. This is a fairly short presentation, just an overview and a sectional analysis of the House Bill 330, which is before you. Just so that I'm certain that my lifelines are available, Mr. Chairman, are Tim Basson and Peter Caltagirone available?
Yes, and I'm glad you pronounced Mr. Caltagirone's name, because I was going to struggle with that.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 330 just provides some background, Mr. Chairman. The protective orders bill is what we're calling it internally. The title on the bill is DNR, Disclosure of Confidential Data, and I know that raises some alarm bells for some people. The intent of this bill is not to publish confidential data for the general public to consume. It's more appropriately called a protective orders bill because the information would only be disclosed to parties that are appellants or participants in an audit where the confidential data would be required to be disclosed in order to provide the complete administrative record in the adjudication of an appeal. So just for a little bit of background, Mr. Chairman, the Department of Natural Resources is the land manager of the lands of the state. Within the Department of Natural Resources, we have the Division of Oil and Gas, who is responsible for the management and administration of oil and gas leases that is how we manage the oil and gas resources of the state. Within the Division of Oil and Gas, we do have a section that performs audits to make sure that the state is receiving its due share in pursuit of the actual lease agreements. So the lease agreements have terms which require payments to the state. Every month, the leaseholder provides a report to the state calculating how much royalty or net profit share payments are due to the state. Our audit section is who is in charge of making sure that those payments were correctly calculated and the state got its appropriate amount of funds. The royalty audit section wasn't always housed in the Department of Natural Resources. Prior to 2003, it was in the Department of Revenue. With House Bill 246 in the 2003 legislature, those functions were moved to the Department of Natural Resources to perform our own audits. Since 2003, 91 audits have been conducted and generated a little over $270 million in additional payments to the state. Those payments are usually the result of finding an error on one of the reports, something associated with either the transportation deductions or relating to the price that was used in the calculation of the royalty payment. We use, in our lease contracts, we have four methods of calculating what the appropriate payment to the state should be, and the highest of those four calculations is what is due to the state. The first one is just simply the price that the company received for the oil that they sold from the lease. The second is the volume weighted average of the three highest field prices. And then the other two are based on what are called posted prices, which aren't really applicable to Alaska. So generally, just the first and two computation methods are what are used, and the highest of those two calculations generates the appropriate payment to the state for its lease terms. Moving on to slide four, Mr. Chairman, why House Bill 330 is important to us. Because of the fact that that higher up provision, the average of the highest three payments, the highest three field prices received from the lease, when there are multiple leaseholders of a lease, working interest owners of a lease, we look at the different contracts. So the companies will provide those royalty reports to the department, and then we calculate the average of those three highest payments to determine what the appropriate payment is. So if somebody, when they give their royalty reports to the state, though they are basing those payments based on what they received, and that's not necessarily what the lease terms will dictate. However, because those contracts between the leaseholder and their purchasers are confidential by our statutes, we cannot provide those contracts, which are confidential, to the person that is getting the audit and we're assessing these different these additional fees to, these additional royalty assessments on. There are currently seven royalty audits that are pending in the commissioner's office right now, worth a little over $39 million if they all were adjudicated in the state's favor.
And I'll just interrupt for a moment to let you know Representative Christ Tompkins has joined us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed.
And because in recent years some of these leaseholders have objected to the state disclosing that confidential data to other leaseholders, we've run into this situation where even though we feel like we do have the authority to prosecute, I guess, the lease terms that we have, in the face of an objection, if a court were to rule against our ability to do so, it would carry criminal charges for the person that disclosed that confidential data. So just out of an abundance of caution, we're before you today asking for explicit authority to disclose that information to parties during an appeal or an audit where that information is necessary to fully adjudicate that appeal or audit. When we that is the major issue, Mr. Chairman, is those seven audits that are currently pending and require, and any future audits that might come in the future, which this bill would allow us to more quickly adjudicate and complete, generating those additional revenues for the state. As we were talking about this bill and how these protective orders would work, we realized that occasionally there are additional situations where an appeal comes before the commissioner and there is confidential data in the record which can't be fully adjudicated. It's a very rare circumstance, Mr. Chairman. It's only happened twice in the last 10 years that I know of. But there have been these situations where a third party outside of a unit agreement has brought an appeal against or to the commissioner's attention because they had a financial interest in the decision, and then we had to go to the court ultimately to get a protective order to allow that information to be disclosed. So this bill, the way it's written now more broadly, allows us and the commissioner to issue that protective order in those additional rare circumstances as well. Mr. Chairman, moving to slide five, the what is a protective order slide. This is just a general slide talking about protective orders. I know most of you are familiar with what protective orders are. Basically, what we're just talking about is a confidentiality agreement that the commissioner can issue and people will be compelled to enter into. This isn't anything that's, it might sound to some people like it's a very forceful tool. It's actually a tool that many agencies are utilizing and even within the state. So Fish and Game and administration both have the ability to issue these protective orders. The Department of Revenue has the ability to disclose confidential data in the same way that we're talking about here in adjudicating appeals on tax issues. And of course, courts issue protective orders when the situations arise in the courts where confidential data would prevent the ability for the court or for the case to be completed. So it's a very common tool. It's used by courts and arbitrators and many other agencies. We're not asking for anything that's too much beyond that. So it would be just the ability to provide only the information that is part of the record in an appeal or an audit, and only to those parties that are directly interested as an appellant and only under a protective order, which limits their ability to utilize that information. So we're, again, not disclosing information to the general public. It's under a very strict and limiting condition, and it is discretionary the way the bill is currently written, so that the commissioner can issue those protective orders only when he deems it necessary to complete the appeal process. Mr. Chairman, moving to the last slide, just the sectional analysis of the bill. Section 1 is where the meat of the bill is. It is a additional duty and power of the commissioner under Alaska Statute 3805.020, Section B. We're adding a paragraph. It begins on page 3. The rest is just existing language within the statute. On page 3, line 25, we're adding additional paragraph 15, which gives the commissioner the authority to issue these protective orders if he deems it necessary. And it also provides that the person whose confidential data that will be released to these other parties must have an opportunity to be heard. That is identical language to the Department of Revenue under AS 4355040. And then the subparagraph B is what allows the commissioner to issue that protective order, which limits the person who may have access to the information and the purposes for which that information can be used. That's found on page 4 on lines 3 and 4. Mr. Chairman, sections 2 and 3 are just conforming language to include that additional provision within the existing statutes. And that is all I have, and I'm available for questions.
Representative Millett.
Thank you. So I guess when it comes to what you'd be using the protective order, it would be a lease audit, an appeal on royalty rates, and I'm not sure what the request for reconsideration. So you said you've only had two in the last 10 years?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, we've had two of these kind of more rare situations where a non-royalty issue was brought that required the disclosure of confidential data. Those both happened in the Ninilchik unit, and they went to court. Mm-hmm. And they're currently, one of them is currently pending litigation. The royalty audit issue is the real issue that we're trying to address here. Those other issues are just captured by, so that we don't have to continue to go to court when they do arise or come back to you for this additional authorization at some later dates.
Can we follow up?
Representative Miller.
So in the royalty audit, I mean, would seem to me that it would be the state in dispute with the company on, you know, what they owed. So if a unit has two or three different producers in it, which commonly we have that in the state of Alaska, that information would have to be compared to, I would imagine, in that unit to other royalty. So is there any concern about, through this, just about disclosure and of what each producer is paying for competitive reasons?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, we don't believe that there are any concerns right from our perspective as the department. The idea that this might violate antitrust or allow collusion or something along those lines, we don't see that is really being a relevant point here. And the reason why is because these are audits of things that have happened in the past. So they're contracts that are in the past. And they are disclosing one contract to another party for the purposes of determining how much royalty was due 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years ago. And the release of that confidential data is very different than getting two people in a room to collude and try to drive price towards a current to a some kind of market level. So this is very different than what an antitrust type argument would require, and we don't believe that there are any reasons why, for competitive reasons, the ability to do this would somehow injure one of the parties. And they do, of course, have the opportunity to bring, if there are issues, to bring those issues to our attention before that protective order was issued and that data was disclosed. And we'd also point out that this is exactly how the court, if we did have to go to the court, this protective order idea is how the court would resolve the issue anyhow. And when the court issues a protective order, there are no confidential, there's no, none of the same colluding or antitrust issues that are brought forward in those cases.
Follow-up?
Representative Millett.
So I understand how a court would deem it, but we're talking about a commissioner, right, that changes every 4 years. you know, could change every 4 years or more often than that. Is there a problem? I mean, so your problem is you just don't want to have to go to court every time you want to get a protective order to disclose. Well, are you anticipating a higher higher audit disputes coming up in the future? Or, I mean, I just want to know the genesis of the bill.
Sure. Through the chair, Representative Millett, we currently have 7 audits that are pending that are related to this issue, and we do feel like we have the authority that we could disclose that confidential data to the party that is the party to the audit. Mm-hmm. However, because there is a statute on our books that says the disclosure of confidential data carries a criminal penalty, we are a little bit hesitant to enforce that contract in the lease, just in case, you know, it does for some reason provide some kind of potential criminal charge on our employees. So what we're asking for here is one way to resolve this issue. That would be just explicit authority from the legislature to go ahead and do that. The other option that we might have, we could prosecute the lease terms and just go ahead and do it without the explicit authority. Or if we wanted to continue to, as you say, we could go to the court and ask for a protective order from the courts. We just feel like this is the most expedient way to resolve the immediate issue and the issues if they arise in the future as well.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. King, thank you. So just looking at here, we're only talking about producers here. Is that correct?
Representative Kopp, through the chair, the confidential data would almost exclusively come from a leaseholder. That is correct. It would be a producer of oil and gas. It might be, the bill is written generally enough that it could include other leases that the department does hold. So if in the future some circumstance arose where a mining lease, for example, where there's confidential data and there was an appeal from a third party, that kind of situation doesn't exist today, but it could theoretically. So I would say yes, it is producers' data, generally speaking.
Okay, I continue, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kopp.
So each lessee, which happens to be producers, they are currently obligated to share their price information with the Division of Oil and Gas via the lease provision. Is that correct?
Representative Kopp, yes, that is correct. Through the chair.
Okay, so all. So then what we're talking about here is how to compute the royalty that is due under the lease, what value is used. And so just so I understand, the reason why you need to share with that producer who disagrees with the audit is because that determination is made on the average price of other producers. And those other producers may not want that disclosed for competitive advantage information. But that's the only way set out in the law for you to establish what that value is that is owed under the audit. Is that correct?
Representative Kopp, through the chair, that is correct.
Follow up?
Well, I can see why this is a touchy issue. That's all I can say. Yeah, it's becoming clear.
Yeah. I just want to clarify, at least if this bill were enacted, DNR is doing an audit, as I think the practice is to audit pretty much every royalty payment. You go, people that owe royalties, that audits are pretty routine. So you're doing an audit, and as part of that, to do that effectively, you not only need to have, the department needs to have access to information from the producer that's being audited, but you may also need information from another producer who's not being audited, but information from that producer's stuff is part of how do you see if the royalty payments are correct as to the producer being audited. If I got that right?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you do have that right. Just to be perfectly clear, that the division does already have the data from all of the leaseholders, so we're not asking to be, compelling someone to provide additional data.
Okay. So what this involves more is now you've got company A is being audited and company B's information is important to doing that audit correctly. and you need to, Company A needs Company B's information, which otherwise they wouldn't have, to be able to do the whole audit process correctly.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. Yeah.
And before a protective order would get entered, I take it these are protective orders that the producers have to agree to. It's not one of these things where the department can unilaterally impose the protective order. You've actually got to get an agreement from the other side before you can implement them?
Mr. Chairman, under our current laws and our current processes, we do go to the producers and ask for a confidentiality agreement so that the data can be shared. It's when they refuse to sign that agreement that the problem arises. And okay, that's what this bill would do, is allow us to enter into that protective order and disclose that information without the permission.
Without the permission from the other producer? The one that's not a party to the audit?
The owner of the confidential data, Mr. Chairman, yes.
And so the owner, this is confidential data of the party that's not being audited?
That is correct.
And so under this law, what would happen is the company not being audited would be able to register objections with the department, and then the department would decide as it sees fit?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Yes.
And this would give them authority to do that. And would the, before the protective order took effect, would the company that's not being audited have the option of appealing that decision to the court before the protective order takes effect?
Mr. Chairman, I think now you're swimming, or you're a little deeper than I'm willing to swim. Maybe Mr. Peter Caltagirone will be able to answer that question.
Mr. Caltagirone, have you been following the questions we're taking up here?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chair.
Can you respond to the question that you're the first lifeline Mr. King would like?
And for the record, Peter Caltagirone, Assistant Attorney General of the Department of Law.
Are you on a speakerphone or are you on a regular phone?
I'm on a speakerphone. Can you hear me okay?
Can you please?
Unfortunately, I don't have a handset available to me, Mr. Chair, but I'll speak closer.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Do the best you can. The handsets definitely work better, but go ahead.
Okay. Understood. Mr. Chair, when the information that we're discussing here is going to be disclosed, the unaudited producer at the time does receive notice that their information will be disclosed pursuant to the terms of a protective order. And there is a period of time in between when they receive notice and when the information is disclosed, during which time they could state their objections to the division.
That would be an objection to the division, but what about now they've put in the objection to the division and the division considers it and decides to proceed with the protective order allowing the unaudited company to have their confidential information used within the proceeding? Do they have the option of appealing that if they're still unhappy?
They would have to petition the court.
Right, but they would have the option, if unhappy with the department's decision, they could petition the court for review of that administrative decision by DNR.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay. Representative Stutz was next in queue.
We'll just call up. I mean, that's what they do now. I mean, it's the process we're in now, so I guess that's what's confusing to me.
I thought that wasn't the process now, that the department wasn't issuing protective orders, and this gives them authority to enter into a protective order, which before they couldn't do. They had to go to the court every time. You're in the queue.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the representative is referring to the fact that if we followed the chain of events that were just laid out, then we might not be any better off than we are today, as I believe what the comment was in, if I interpreted it correctly. I would defer to the Attorney General or the Assistant Attorney General to answer that question.
Mr. Caltag, representative from the Department of Law.
Mr. Chair, it's Peter Caltagirone. Thank you. And representative through the chair, the way it would play out currently is, I believe, actually, can you restate your question one more time?
But again, really be careful on where you're talking to the phone, because you're breaking up again because you weren't. But the question was, what happens today when you go and the company that isn't being audited says they don't want to agree to allow their information to be shared with the company being audited? What happens today?
What happens today is the non-audited company receives a notice letter that their information will be disclosed. The representative of the unaudited company, if they so choose, would contact the Division of Oil and Gas, state their objections, and if those objections cannot somehow be resolved, then the unaudited company would have to seek an injunction that would in a court that would prevent their information from being disclosed.
So the department doesn't have to go to the court to get the protective order. In fact, the department is essentially going forward, and it's just a question of whether the company wants to file suit to stop it.
The company, Mr. Chair, the division is not simply going forward. The division issues a letter to the audited company and says essentially that the information at issue from the other producers will be disclosed to you, but only if you execute a confidentiality agreement. And that confidentiality agreement essentially lays out the same protection for that information in terms of terms under which it can be used as with a protective order. And we tell that to the unaudited company, that their information will only be disclosed if they sign a confidentiality agreement. And in short, the confidentiality agreement limits who can see the information. It limits the purpose that the information can be used for, and it also limits the state's liability if the audit company somehow misuses the information that's disclosed.
Representative Stutz, do you have a question?
I do, or maybe it's more of a clarification, but I thought I heard Mr. King say earlier that the contracts with the producers now have that clause in it, but there is a statute that precludes that. And the concern was the effect of the statute. Even though you have the ability based on the contracts to do that, so I was under the impression that this was going to address the concern you have with this clause in the statute. But currently, the contracts that you have entered into allow you to do this. Am I correct, or did I misunderstand that?
Representative Stutz, through the chair, I believe that you are correct. The contracts do have the clause, and trying to enforce the contract requires that this disclosure be able to be had, right? So that when we make a redetermination, when someone pays us a royalty payment of, you know, based on $50 a barrel oil, and another leaseholder sold theirs for $60 a barrel, then we're going to send a bill to that person that got the smaller amount of money, right? That got a less of a deal. We send them a bill for the difference. Then they will come to us and say, well, how do I know that what you billed me was accurate? And we say, well, it's based on this contract from this other party. And then they'll say, well, let me see that contract. And we say, well, I'm sorry, we can't show it to you because it's confidential data. Now, we do believe that we do have authority in the enforcement of that contract to go ahead, as the Assistant Attorney General was saying, to do that. But because there is a confidentiality clause in statute that carries a criminal penalty, if for some reason a court were to decide against the state, then that criminal charge may, we may be subject to or subjecting our staff to a criminal penalty. The Department of Revenue has a statute that says, you know, for these circumstances, you have explicit authority from the legislature to violate that, not violate, but to get around that confidentiality statement, that statute. The Department of Natural Resources does not have that provision in our statutes, so that's what we're trying to clean up here today.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Representative Millett, you're still in the queue, but you may have asked your question.
I know exactly what they're asking for. I'm very clear on this one. Thank you.
I don't see other questions. So, We also have.
Well, it's whenever it's appropriate for a comment or discussion.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
I would also note, though, in addition to Mr. Caltagirone, Tim Bisson is also on the line, and Becky Cruz from the Department of Natural Resources is also on the line. Are there questions for either Mr. Bisson or Ms. Cruz? Okay. That actually, we're going to open public testimony before we get to comments. I'm going to open public testimony on House Bill 330. Is there anyone in the room who would like to provide any public testimony on House Bill 330? I see no one and no one standing up. And online, I have two from the Department of Law and the Department, Becky Cruz and Tim Bisson, all here for questions but not to provide public testimony. So with that, we will close public testimony on House Bill 330. And this is an opportunity for comments. We're not going to move the bill today, but Representative Kopp, you had some comments.
Oh, sure, Mr. Chairman. I was kind of hoping we would have heard from somebody in the industry as far as the producers, but apparently they didn't feel that was necessary. I'm glad to see our Department of Law does this role. They have a fiduciary duty to make sure that the appropriate revenue is collected in every lease agreement, and I know we're all supportive of that. I do see the sensitivity, though, because if the only vehicle to come to an appropriate valuation of the state royalty owed requires a competitive disclosure, if your competitor knows your price point, they can pretty much build your whole portfolio of how you're doing. They're very smart people, and I can see why this is extraordinarily sensitive, and frankly, we all benefit from a competitive environment. So I see why this is a sensitive issue. If the court is involved, you are keeping in play a neutral decider of facts, whereas perhaps the administration could be considered favorable one time, unfavorable another, or maybe not even the administration, but an individual that you're having to deal with. So my guess is there's some weighing of the balance of how do you depoliticize these orders, and also how do you protect the private market information of these companies so they're not compromised. And it's just becoming clear to me why this is an issue and why it's tough to resolve. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Representative Kopp. I will note there's in the room there's one representative, one oil company here, but he obviously chose not to testify. And we did. You don't need to write that down. We'll consider that an off-record comment.
All right.
This is my thought, because I think the perspective of the industry on this, I think, is important before we take action. Mm-hmm. And so my thought on this is when we hear this bill again, we'll contact representatives of whoever we think are in town and can show up or can hear by telephone. But I think we either would like to hear from them saying they have no objection to the bill, which probably tells us all we really need to know, or that they'll talk about how they address the confidential information. I did have some conversations with some folks beforehand, including from industry folks, and they commented that price information, although confidential, is not all that sensitive because it's pretty well known. But when you get into things like geologic data about well, a lot of the more proprietary information, then it starts getting to be a little more important about what's known and what's not known. And so I think they can probably answer some of our questions on that front. But we will make sure when this bill comes back that we get some input from producers to make sure that they are, A, aware of the bill, and to the extent their view is they have no objection, that makes our job easier. And open for comments, Representative Millett.
Thanks. And I think it might be helpful, too, because the Department of Revenue does this currently, if I'm not mistaken, on tax And I think it would be helpful for the committee to understand if maybe we have someone from the tax division come in and talk to us about how they adjudicate decisions on appeals on tax bills. And I think it will be, we can rectify a lot of the questions if we just see something in operation and how it works through Department of Revenue, which is, has been doing it, I'm assuming, for.
And I think that's a good idea, and we'll certainly ask them to attend. I think one of the points of this bill is they're essentially saying we want to be on the same footing as other departments in pursuing these kinds of audits, and they're not trying to be put in a position that's more advantageous than other departments of the state doing all that other stuff. Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you. I too would appreciate industry's perspective or testimony before we hear this again, and want to echo and ditto Representative Millett's comment, particularly if we're trying to create effectively a parallelism in statutes between revenue and DNR. It could be really helpful to learn how this works with revenue, and perhaps infer, extrapolate any potential pitfalls. But I think that information would be helpful, and sounds like we're on the right track.
Okay. Any other comments? We will hold this bill. We will also adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, February 19, at 1:30 p.m. We will stand adjourned. It is now 1:39 p.m.
You won't see me on Monday. I'm so sad.